welcome back to Rosie on the House. It's a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning. I bet you that's what happened to Russ in Vail. He was just having too much fun on his patio, drinking his coffee, and didn't have time to mess around with no mesquite. He just wanted to enjoy the beautiful desert sounds. Have you ever been to Vail?
I have not.
It's a neat little place south of Tucson. It's beautiful.
Down by Green Valley?
Yeah. Well, no. Towards Wilcox.
Oh, okay.
It's farther east. But we've got callers in. We're talking water irrigation and Fix a Leak Week. Obviously, most of our water consumption isn't inside the home. It's outside the home. So
can
the
be.
First place we want to focus on is our landscape.
Mm-hmm.
Jack has called in. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. How may we help you?
Hey, how's it going?
Good morning.
So I'm trying to help my mom fix. She just got a drip system installed like a month ago at her house, and my sister lives with her and has a Siberian Husky who loves to dig, and he dug up part of the drip system and chewed it in half. And I was just wondering, what's the best way to patch that like black tube with the orange line on it that they use for the drip system, or it just has to be replaced?
Well, you can make repairs. It's really very easy, in fact. The main lines are the poly lines that typically run the water to the emitters are usually about a 5/8 inch diameter tube. We call it a 0.710 size line. And the couplers are readily available. You can find them at places, home outlet stores. Be careful. There are different sizes of that main tube. You'll need to know whether or not it's what we call true half inch or 5/8. And the fittings are either green, and that's the slightly smaller size, or they'll be black or blue, and that's the slightly larger size. But the fittings just literally push on. Take a sharp pair of scissors or a pair of cutters, make a nice clean cut, push that connector on, and have a little section of tubing and another connector on the other side, and you can make a repair. It's really, really pretty easy to work with.
Isn't the pipe color-coded to match the fitting?
So you not anymore.
Oh, that's, I hate that.
Sure,
so how do you tell? I guess you have to dig up a fitting and see what they use?
Some of the brands will actually mark the size on it, or find a fitting, or just, you know, take a piece of the tubing with you to the store. Just cut a little section out, cut that section out, turn off your water, cut a little section out that's damaged and take it with you, and you'll see what fits. If it's the larger size tubing, it will not want to go into that green fitting.
Yeah, yeah.
And conversely, the other way, it'll pull right out. It won't fit. So once you have a little piece of the tube and you have the right fitting in mind. Obviously, all the sprinkler suppliers in town, places like Sprinkler World,
will they carry both sizes?
They will.
Will they? And when you say bigger or smaller, this isn't visually detectable. This is like
it's not for the
homeowner.
After 33 years, I might be able to see it,
but it's like a tenth of an inch.
It's a small amount, right? Yeah. And so it's a minor. And fortunately, they sell some of that smaller tube at some of the hardware stores and home outlet stores. And so it just depends.
Whoever invented that should be shot.
You know, why do they have two sizes right next? I don't.
Yeah, that's one more thing about plumbing that just drives me nuts.
And obviously, right at the leak, it's probably the easiest time to fix it because you got water everywhere, so the digging's easier.
It will be if it didn't do the digging for you.
Do you have any suggestions for keeping that dog off of it? I mean, dogs dig.
They do. And one of my clients used an innovative technique. They mixed a little cayenne pepper with some Vaseline.
Mm.
And they put that on the emitters. The dog liked to chew on the tips. And that was a bit of a deterrent.
Very good.
So I don't know if that's humane or not, but see if we get some phone calls.
You know what I do a lot at our house is I will, if it's around a tree or a plant, something specific like that, I will put chicken wire around it and then put mulch on top of that chicken wire. So if they scratch through the mulch and they hit that chicken wire and they can't get their teeth all the way to it, and you know, you got to push the mulch back on from time to time, but that has helped.
And if an animal's going to dig down to that main tube and chew on it, that's going to be a pretty big leak. And if they're going to do that, there's not a whole lot you can do other than a physical barrier. If they're just chewing on the ends of the line, one tip too, the little emitters, don't put them at the ends of the line. Put those in the ground.
And you know I do that?
That's
because
good.
I learned it from you when you guys did my house. What was that?
It's been a while.
That's been 10 years ago.
Time flies.
Everything I put on the drip now, I don't put the emitter on the end. I put it straight into the tube.
Something chews on the end of that tube, no big deal.
No big deal.
So you have your half-inch line buried.
Correct.
You've determined that you want to irrigate this plant right here.
Right.
You actually tap the head. Yep. Instead of using the little adapter to get the spaghetti line in, you just tap the head straight into that half-inch line.
Rainbird.
Bury it under the ground.
Yep. Rainbird makes a zero-bug line of emitter. It has a self-piercing barb. It's so easy. It just pops right in, and then you put the distribution tubing to the plant.
Hmm.
So remember that zero-bug.
Okay.
All right. Very good.
And it's one less mechanical part.
You're sure.
You don't have
one
to
less
push.
Connection. Yeah. Right.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Chad, welcome to the program. Appreciate the call. How may we help you in your landscape, sir?
Hey, fellas. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, my question is, I think it's called a sisal tree. I'm not sure if I'm saying it right. But I've got some in my backyard, and I'm not quite sure about the watering instructions for those. Plus, these roots, I think, are pretty nasty. They're breaking up my patio that's about 15 feet away. But the patio stretches 10 feet out and about 15, 20 feet wide.
Right. And you said that's a sisu?
I think so, yeah. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right or not.
Well, that's pretty correct. Dalbergia sisu, that's also known as an Indian rosewood. That's a great tree. It's a pretty big tree.
Yeah.
It's going to build a pretty big canopy.
Yeah.
It's going to want to kind of go up a little more than out. But you're talking a 30-foot-plus canopy tree over many years. And if you've got roots that are giving you trouble with the patio, the first thing you should have been doing, and it may be a little late now, is to deep water it. When you water it to a depth of 3 feet. I mean, really, seriously, you're supposed to put that much water on it. WaterUseItWisely.com has a great little chart on it that'll help you look at the canopy size of that tree and how many gallons you need to put on it to water to that depth. And I'd suggest taking a look at that.
Is there anything I can do to help drive those roots down or just water it, or is it too late for those?
Now, hopefully the tree's planted at the right height. And at this point, you know, start the deep watering process. I'd consult with an arborist before you did any significant root pruning. You might be able to do some of that if it's caused damage to the patio. That's something that's going to be very site-specific, and so we'd want to have a professional take a look at that.
Following that Water Use It Wisely manual, the watering by the numbers, people expect a very quick answer, and when you get to the end, it can be a quick reference, but you got to go through soil types, you got to run it,
you've
got to probe it, you got to check it. But to take a weekend and do it right and understand the soils in your yards and the trees you have and the amount of water they need, man, that pays off every single time you turn your irrigation on, and not only in water savings, but just for the health of your plants.
Right, and I mean, you can waste a lot of water in your landscape and do harm to your landscape at the same time. So you're wasting water on through the water meter, and you're paying for that water, and you're damaging your landscape at the same time.
Now, deep water in that sisu tree with the roots already at the surface are never going to get those roots down deep.
But I think at this point, deep watering would be the thing to continue doing, to start doing, if nothing else, to try to develop a root system.
That
does go down, and then maybe do some root pruning.
Chad, you can pick up that pamphlet just about any nursery.
Or online.
That's right. You can print it right offline.
Sure,
PDF download. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Scott's called in and has a question about citrus. Scott, welcome to the program. What can we help you
with this morning, sir? Hello?
Go ahead.
Morning.
Hey, I got a question about the citrus trees. I don't know if maybe I need to email some pictures of these leaves. My mother-in-law has a home out in Westbrook Village, and she's got an orange tree and a grapefruit tree. And more the orange tree than grapefruit tree, the leaves are beginning to kind of curl up and brown on the ends. And so she's concerned that she's going to lose them.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's a fungus or a bug of some type.
Well, there are things that can cause the leaves to curl. If you've got tips that are burned, a lot of times that can be salt burn from shallow waterings. And again, deep water. You need to give that plant a lot of water when you water it. It's a big shrub. It likes to be watered deeply, and then it wants to dry out between waterings. So you don't water it frequently, and especially don't give it short, frequent waterings. That's the worst thing you can do for a citrus.
That's probably the issue, because I know she's got it on a drip system,
right,
and I believe it runs every day.
Yeah, and that's this time of year we do not need to be doing that. I can't think of a plant, even flowers. I've got annual flowers in containers in the sun at my house. They haven't been watered for days, and they're fine. So, get to water, use it wisely. Look at how many gallons you need to water that tree. Evaluate your irrigation system, and get the controller programmed correctly. And if you need help, give me a call.
You know what we haven't talked about are specifically what type of controllers, what kind of irrigation system, what kind of boxes. And Dave called in with specifically that question. So let's talk Dave through it, and hopefully anyone else that may have that question as well. Dave, welcome to the program.
Good morning, fellas.
Yes, sir.
I was just calling to ask Bill if he's a fan, or if he's been trying out any of the new smart controllers that are out there on the market. If he's got an opinion about those.
I very definitely have an opinion on those. I think that they're a wonderful thing. You know, it's kind of funny. They haven't caught on quite like we thought they were going to in the industry.
So is it like a smartphone? Is it Wi-Fi connected?
They can be. All those things are out there. We have all kind of, you know, you run your controller with your iPhone, all kinds of things you can do now. But there's dumb clocks and smart clocks. And you know, the dumb clock is as smart as you are. If you program it and you give it the information it needs, it, you can manage your water on your landscape. The smart clocks take a little bit of effort. They're a little more expensive to install. I am a fan of the Rainbird ESP SMT. I think that's one of the better ones in the market. Hopefully didn't just make all my other manufacturers mad at me, but that's a good one. It really is, and there are many others. And a lot of it, you get out of it what you put into it. It needs to be installed by a professional or somebody who really knows what they're doing, because they have weather stations, water sensors, solar radiation sensors, temperature sensors that need to be set. And then the controller needs a fair amount of programming to understand what you're watering. Once you describe your landscape and the soil conditions to that controller through a process, it now makes decisions about watering on your landscape. And you really can save water and have a healthier landscape.
The system makes the decisions.
The controller programs it based on the ET rate.
Uh-huh.
It knows when it's historically, you know, by zip code, and then through the information it gets from its sensors, it knows, you know, hey, it's Phoenix, it's this time of year, I need to water more often.
And that's after you've programmed the smart clock with, this is an oleander valve, this is a lawn
and
valve.
And I have clay-like soil, and there's no slope, and I'm giving it all the parameters and telling it what it's watering. Once you tell it what it's watering, it makes decisions based on the information you put in.
I like that.
That's pretty.
It's a wonderful thing. I wish more people knew about them, and it's great that we have a caller that understands what they are. Look into them, definitely.
Obviously, you said they're a little bit more and hearing about the functionality.
Like anything, there's pros and cons.
Well, how much more? If I remember right, my Hunter irrigation, it's 12 valve, was about like $150.
You know, and I mean, you may be talking about what the customer is going to go buy it for, but you've got to put it in too. You've got to install it.
Mm-hmm.
There's some electrical work involved, and you know, how many times have we seen the controllers where the electrical's not code? So you've got things to do there. I would say that on the average, some of the smart controllers can cost about twice as much as a standard controller to install, and it varies depending upon the installation.
Walter and Glendale, welcome to the pro. Oh, you know what? We're running out of time here. Walter, you will be right after this short break along with Don. And we may have time if you'd like to try and get in with your landscape irrigation question at 1-888-767-4348.